Shalom, Shaul Dog here for the Yeshuan Radio Network. I would like to introduce you to some of our homegrown teachers and hosts who are featured on this network. We have Shoshana Swan with Chavra. We have Pastor Jim Morgan with the Out of Babylon radio program. Also, the new Oyen Town with your hosts Christopher Fredrickson and JJ Rocks. We also have Paul Neeson with the Torah Life Show. And then there's yours truly with the Messianic Jewish Moment. All kinds of different styles and teachings for every learning level. New lessons are added weekly, so be sure to keep coming back. And we thank you for listening to the Yeshuan Radio Network, where people can be delivered and not deceived.
Adonai ki shachen ba'om mi'leit zion mishpat
challenge due to time restraints. In the beginning, I never realized how much time and effort one has to expend to put an interesting message together, replete with scripture, and a topic to hold one's interest. Now, 20 plus teachings later, I have gained a great respect for those who do this on a regular basis, usually having messages that will encompass an hour's time or even more. These people have devoted an enormous amount of personal time to the message of the kingdom of Yehovah, and for that I say thank you. For without their efforts, I wouldn't be here sharing the words that I have found in scripture. Without their efforts, I would be as spoon-fed as the next guy, or as Isaiah and Yeshua both say. Yes, you hear, but you don't understand. You certainly see, but you don't get the point. Make the heart of this people sluggish with fat. Stop up their ears and shut their eyes. Otherwise, seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears, then understanding that with their hearts, they might repent and be healed. I take personally the words of Yeshua when he told his Talmudim they were blessed because they did have eyes that see and ears that hear. And many prophets and teachers longed to understand the things they were hearing that day. While pondering the message that would be presented today, I was driving down a country lane I'm very familiar with, yet don't use very often unless an errand or task takes me that direction to arrive home. I was asking Father, what are the words you'd like me to present this week? This is my favorite part because he always answers immediately, and I anticipate the response and how it will be presented. It's never the same way and always creative. Imagine that. But at that point, I was taking in all the spring beauty, the trees, the green and the foliage and different splotches of interesting anything, and I immediately came across a peaceful pasture of sheep. There were probably 30 or so contained in the fence. I grinned, thinking of prophecy and the references to us being his sheep. Not a quarter mile down the road, on the other side, I drove past a pen of goats. There, in the space of about a minute, I had my answer. Sheep from the goats, wheat from the weeds, good from the bad, and the complete separation and cleansing that will take place when Yeshua's feet again touch this earth. So, with that being said, let's read scripture. Ezekiel 34:1. The word of Yehovah came to me. Human being, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy. Tell them, the shepherds, that Yehovah Elohim says this. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the choice meat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the best of the herd, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bandage the broken, bring back the outcast, or seek the lost. On the contrary, you tyrannize them with crushing force. So they were scattered without a shepherd, and became food for every wild animal. They were scattered. My sheep wandered aimlessly on every mountain and hill. Yes, my sheep were scattered all over the land, and no one to search for them or look for them. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of Yehovah. As I live, Yehovah Elohim swears, because my sheep have become prey, my sheep have become food for every wild animal since there was no shepherd. Since my shepherds didn't look for my sheep, and instead my shepherds fed themselves, but not my sheep. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of Yehovah. Yehovah Elohim says, I am against the shepherds. As one can imagine, during the scattering of Israel, there had to have been myriad people interpreting prophecy in any old way they liked, much as what is seen today. We read of Israel killing prophets and messengers, and here we see that it did not go unnoticed by Yehovah. This is his response to the atrocities he saw and how he handled the situation. And I will also interject that here again, it is referenced, the fact is referenced that Yeshua is the last prophet by definition. Yehovah himself has said, I will shepherd my sheep myself. And how is that to be accomplished? Yeshua's birth, death, and resurrection. I draw on Hebrews 1:1-4 for that statement. We're going to continue on in Ezekiel 34:10 and note how many times the word I will are spoken. I demand that they hand my sheep back to me. I will not allow them to feed the sheep, and they won't feed themselves either. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths. They will be food for them no longer. For here is what Yehovah Elohim says. I am taking over. I will search for my sheep and look after them myself. Just as a shepherd looks after his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I will bring them back from those peoples, gather them from those countries, and return them to their own land. Then I will let them feed on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the livable places of the land. I will have them feed in good pastures. Their grazing ground will be on the highest mountains of Israel. They will rest in good grazing grounds and feed in rich pastures on Israel's mountains. Yes, I will pasture my sheep, and I will let them rest, says Yehovah Elohim. I will seek the lost, bring back the outcasts, bandage the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Continuing in Ezekiel 34:17. As for you, my flock, Yehovah Elohim says this. I will judge between the sheep and the other sheep, between the rams and the billy goats. Wasn't it enough for you to feed on the best pasture and drink from the clearest water? Did you have to trample the rest of the pasture and follow the remaining water with your feet? So now, my sheep, eat what you have trampled with your feet, and drink water fouled by your feet. Therefore, here is what Yehovah Elohim says to them. I will judge between the fat sheep and the thin sheep, because you push them with your flanks and shoulders and butt all the weak ones with your horns till you scatter them in every direction. Therefore, I will save my flock. They will no longer be prey, and I will judge between the sheep and the other sheep. I will raise up one shepherd to be in charge of them, and he will let them feed, my servant David. He will pasture them and be their shepherd. I, Yehovah, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, Yehovah, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them. I will rid the land of wild animals, and they will live securely in the desert and sleep in the forest. The sheep and the goats concept was brought up a few months ago in dealings with obstinate people within a particular organization, and I thought I'd look into the whys of goats and their habits. I had a couple of goats as a child and a teen, and am somewhat familiar with their habits and such, but most of the time my family had them, I was away at boarding academy and wasn't involved with them on a day-to-day basis. After reading Ezekiel 34:21 and Yehovah's apt description of the prophets of the day as goats, I thought it would be interesting to read what the average person has to say about goat behavior based on their observations, and here is what I found. No matter how sweet and loving your goat may be with you, they will on occasion get violent with their herd mates. This is the natural way of things, and no matter how you want them to always get along, there will be occasions where your goats fight and take pot shots at each other. A goat herd has a pecking order. Every goat has their place in the herd. When you add new goats to the herd, they may get beat up by the members of the established herd until the new goat's place in the herd is established. There is no way to stop the fighting. Separating them won't help, because just when you get them back together again, they'll start it all over. They have to just run their course. Goats will ram lesser goats for no other reason other than to just make sure they know their place. Goats can and do get hurt when they get rammed. This is one reason people never use keyhole feeders. With these types of feeders, a goat can't see when they're about to get hit, and they cannot remove their head fast enough to avoid getting hit, and because of this, they can get injured. On occasion, goats and kids can even get mortally injured from being rammed by another goat. I have known of kids getting spinal injuries and even older ones getting broken ribs, and in these cases, the goats died from their injuries. These cases were all in herds where none of the goats had horns. Just imagine what could happen if the goat did have horns. This is another argument for not having horns, because goats will ram each other. Sometimes, when a goat exhibits signs of illness, like they may have been poisoned, they have actually gotten internal injuries from being rammed by a herd mate. Now, reading this whole description of goat herd behavior brings a whole new light to the view Yehovah has of people that he gives that title to. Food for thought. Going to continue to Ezekiel 34:26. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. I will cause the rain to fall when it should. There will be showers of blessing. We've heard that before. The trees in the field will bear their fruit and the soil its produce, and they will be secure in their land. Then they will know that I am Yehovah when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the power of those who turn them into slaves. No longer will they be prey for the goyim, nor the wild animals devour them, but they will live securely, with no one to make them afraid. I will make the productivity of their crops famous, and they will no longer be consumed by hunger in the land or bear the shame of the goyim any more. They will know that I, Yehovah their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says Yehovah Elohim. You, my sheep, the sheep in my pasture, are human beings, and I am your God, says Yehovah Elohim. Now that we've read prophecy regarding the great separation, let's see what Yeshua has to say about it. Remember, Yeshua is Torah, and he taught Torah. Here's his expounding on what he told Ezekiel to say. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, accompanied by all the angels, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. The sheep he will place at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you whom my father has blessed, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, and you made me your guest. I needed clothes, and you provided them. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the people who have done what God wants will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and make you our guest, or needing clothes and provide them? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will say to them, Yes, I tell you that whenever you did these things for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did them for me. Then he will also speak to those on his left, saying, Get away from me, you who are cursed. Go off into the fire prepared for the adversary and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food, thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink, a stranger, and you did not welcome me, needing clothes, and you did not give them to me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they too will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, needing clothes, sick, or in prison, and not taking care of you? He will then answer them, Yes, I tell you that whenever you refuse to do it for the least important of these people, you refuse to do it for me. They will go off into eternal punishment, but those who have done what God wants will go to eternal life. One of the reasons time was an issue this week is I get to go to an orientation class this Sunday, which is usually Havre a preparation day for me, to learn the ins and outs of prison ministry, a la the Department of Corrections that I will be attending with my synagogue leader and his wife. It will be an all-day thing. The above quotes from Yeshua are reverberated across the globe in every religious circle imaginable, but I venture to guess verse 46 has been omitted, or at very best described as, Only believe! I'm so excited to be able to share this message, knowing that I'm speaking the truth, and can explain fully why I'm saying what I am. Now we're going to delve into Jeremiah 23 to show the judgment rendered to false prophets. And I reiterate, Yeshua was and is the last prophet, so hearing these words will shed even more light on what Yehovah thinks of the current pulpit pounders and so-called prophets. Jeremiah 23, starting at verse 9. Concerning the prophets, My heart within me is broken, all my bones are shaking. I'm like a drunk, like a man overcome by wine, because Yehovah, because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, because of a curse the land is mourning. The desert pastures have dried up, their course is evil, their power misused. Both prophet and Kohen are godless. In my own house I find their wickedness, says Yehovah. Therefore their way will be slippery for them. They will be driven into darkness and fall there. For I will bring disaster upon them, their year of punishment, says Yehovah. I have seen inappropriate conduct in the prophets of Shomron. They prophesied by Baal and led my people astray. But the prophets of Yerushalayim, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery, live in lies, so encouraging evildoers that none returns from his sin. For me, they have all become like Sodom and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, this is what Yehovah Sabaoth says concerning the prophets. I will feed them bitter wormwood and make them drink poisonous water, for ungodliness has spread throughout all the land from the prophets of Yerushalayim. Yehovah Sabaoth says, Don't listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They're making you act foolishly, telling you visions from their own minds and not from the mouth of Yehovah. They keep reassuring those who despise me. Yehovah says you will be safe and secure, and saying to all living by their own stubborn hearts, Nothing bad will happen to you. Now I interject here, how many times in one year do we hear peace on earth, goodwill to men? Frankly, it makes me ill. Continuing to verse 18, But which of them has been present at the council of Yehovah to see and hear his word? Who has paid attention to his word enough to hear it? Look, the storm of Yehovah bursting out in fury, a whirling storm, whirling down upon the heads of the wicked. Sounds like a tornado. Yehovah's anger will not abate until he fully accomplishes the purpose in his heart. In the Akarit Hayamim, you will understand everything. I did not send these prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. If they had been present at my council, they should let my people hear my words and turn them from their evil way and the evil of their actions. Am I God only when near, says Yehovah, and not when far away? Can anyone hide in a place so secret that I won't see him? Asks Yehovah. Yehovah says, do I not fill heaven and earth? I have heard what these prophets prophesying lies in my name are saying. I've had a dream. I've had a dream. How long will this go on? Is my word in the hearts of prophets who are prophesying lies, who are prophesying the deceit of their own minds? With their dreams that they keep telling each other, they hope to cause my people to forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name when they worshipped Baal. If a prophet has a dream, let him tell it as a dream. But someone who has my word should speak my word faithfully. What do chaff and wheat have in common anyway? Asked Yehovah. There's the crux of Jeremiah 23. What do wheat and chaff have in common? Again, loosely referring to sheep and goats. Jeremiah 23:29. Isn't my word like fire, asks Yehovah, like a hammer shattering rocks? So I am against the prophets, says Yehovah, who steal my words from each other. Yes, I'm against the prophets, says Yehovah, who speak their own words, then add, he says, I'm against those who concoct prophecies out of fake dreams, says Yehovah. They tell them, and by their lies and arrogance, they lead my people astray. I didn't send them. I didn't commission them. And they don't do this people any good at all, says Yehovah. In Matthew 13, Yeshua expounds on the separation, this time using parables about wheat and weeds. Matthew 13:1. The same day, Yeshua went out of the house and sat down by the lake. But such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the crowd stood at the shore. He told them many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Another seed fell on the rocky patches where there wasn't much soil. It sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun had risen, the young plants were scorched, and since their roots were not deep, they dried up. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. But others fell into rich soil and produced grain, 100 or 60 or 30 times as much as had been sown. Those who have ears, let them hear. And I can't help but think that phrase is referring to the Shema. Then the Talmudim came and asked Yeshua, why are you speaking in parables? He answered, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them. For anyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have plenty. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. And here is why I speak to them in parables. They look without seeing and listen without hearing or understanding. That is in them fulfilled in the prophecy of Yeshayahu or Isaiah. And that's referring to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. You will keep on hearing, but never understand, and keep on seeing, but never perceive, because the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they barely hear, and their eyes have closed, so as not to see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and don't do teshuvah so that I could heal them. Continuing on to verse 16. But how blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Yes, indeed, I tell you that many a prophet and many a tzaddik long to see these things that you are seeing but did not see them, and to hear the things that you are hearing but did not hear them. So listen to what the parable of the sower means. Whoever hears the message about the kingdom but doesn't understand it is like the seed sown along the path. The evil one comes and seizes what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is like a person who hears the message and accepts it with joy at once, but has no root in himself. So he stays on for a while, but as soon as some trouble or persecution arises on account of the message, he immediately falls away. Now the seed sown among thorns stands for someone who hears the message, but it is choked by the worries of the world and the deceitful glamour of wealth so that it produces nothing. However, what was sown on rich soil is the one who hears the message and understands it. Such a person will surely bear fruit, 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. Yeshua put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where have all the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this," the servants asked him. "Then what do you want us, do you want us to go and pull them up?" But he said, "No, because if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot some of the wheat at the same time. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers to collect the weeds first, tie them in bundles to be burned, but to gather the wheat in my barn." Here is a very clear explanation of why we have to completely rely on Scripture, because the weeds are there and allowed to prosper with the wheat. They are all together in one big field right now, but this won't last forever. Matthew 13:36. His Talmudim approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, or our last prophet. The field is the world. As for the good seed, these are the people who belong to the kingdom, and the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the adversary. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all the things that cause people to sin and all the people who are far from Torah, and they will throw them into the fiery furnace where people will wail and grind their teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear," or Shema. Once more, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the lake that caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen brought the net up on the shore, sat down, and collected good fish in the baskets and threw the bad fish away. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will go forth and separate the evil people from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where they will wail and grind their teeth. "Have you understood all these things?" "Yes," they answered. He said to them, "So then, every Torah teacher who has been made into a Talmud for the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a home who brings out of his storage room both new things and old." Jeremiah 6:16 always comes to mind when I read this. Here is what Yehovah says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which is the good way? Take it, and you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not take it." My prayer for us that we will always do what Yehovah wants, take his ancient paths, so that we too can find rest for our souls and be at his right hand with his chosen sheep at the close of the age. Yivareka Yehovah v'yishmereka. Ye'er Yehovah p'naf eleka v'kuneka. Yisa Yehovah p'naf eleka v'yasem lecha shalom. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift his face towards you and give you peace.
What would you do? When you have to choose, what would you do? When you have to choose, what would you do? When you
False doctrine. It's all gibberish. The Yasuin Radio Network. Be delivered, not deceived.
You've got prayer.
Yasuin Radio!